Michael Clare, who's a senior visiting fellow at the Arms Control Association. He's the Five College Emeritus Professor of Peace and World Security.
My name is Michaela Jordan Murray from Catskill, New York, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Phoenix Grace of Del Mar, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, this I believe.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that Catskill Housing Authority Executive Director Nina Krupski stepped down 2 weeks ago. No interim head has been named, and the board is one member short. On September 25th, a scheduled meeting was canceled for lack of a quorum. Quote, Patrick McCullough had a water main break and Louise Schwartz had a dentist appointment, unquote, Chairperson Sam Aldi said. Kimberly Jones Holt also attended the meeting with Aldi, who would not say why Krupski left. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Cooksackie Village officials said September 24th, the time frame for public comment on the proposed stipulations for a 50-megawatt solar farm is nearing an end. The Hecate Energy Project is slated to be sited on about 400 acres on Farm to Market Road in Cooksackie and will use approximately 170,000 solar panels. Hecate Development Director Gabe Wapner explained that there are three phases to the Article 10 process, and the stipulations being reviewed originated from public comment. Village Mayor Mark Evans said the village will likely object to a few of the stipulations. Evans declined to say which of them were found to be objectionable until the board votes in October. Evans said, and I quote, "There were some questions we needed further information on. Our attorney will be getting the information for those questions, and we plan to vote in October," end quote. The lifespan of the Hecate project is projected to be 20 to 40 years, Wapner said. He said Hecate will offer $4 million to $6 million in incentives for the life of the project for the community. The public comment period for the project ends September 26. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Amelia Teasdale reports for the Columbia paper that the intersection of Route 9 and Main Street in Volusia is in for a major change soon. Mayor Diane Argyle said that next year the state plans to shift cars coming north on Route 9 and make them go to the intersection of Route 9 and Main Street with a right turn lane for cars turning onto Main Street. The construction of the Albany-Hudson Electric Trail along a national grid right-of-way through the village is the driver for the change. The state wants to make the Main Street crosswalk safer for trail hikers. Mayor Argyle predicts construction will take place next year. Work on the trail won't be completed until the fall of 2020. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
The Daily Freeman is reporting Columbia County resident and Bard College faculty member Jeffrey Gibson has been named a 2019 MacArthur Fellow. Recipients of the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation's so-called Genius Grants each received $625,000 over 5 years to use as they please. Gibson, 47, an artist in residence in Bard's Studio Arts program, maintains a studio in Claverett. Gibson is a Choctaw Cherokee artist, and I quote, who incorporates his heritage into his multidisciplinary work, which includes abstract sculptures, paintings, and prints, end quote, according to Bard College. The Chicago-based MacArthur Foundation also named Valeria Lucelli to the list of 26 fellows as well. Lucelli, 36, is a writer in residence in Bard's Written Arts program. She is an award-winning author of fiction and nonfiction whose books have been published in more than 20 languages. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that Governor Andrew Cuomo's office announced September 26 that menthol has been added to New York's ban on flavored tobacco and e-cigarettes. Quote, it is clear that vape and e-cigarette companies are using flavors to get young people hooked on their products, and in New York we have taken several actions to put an end to this marketing tactic, unquote, Cuomo said. The flavored tobacco ban starts on October 4th. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics.
MidHudsonNews.com is reporting New York State Health Department and the SUNY Albany School of Public Health have been given $1 million by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Agency for a toxic substance and disease registry. The fund will be used to support a health study of the exposures of residents living in Newburgh and Hoosick Falls, where the drinking water has been contaminated with PFAS. Funding supports the first year of a five-year project involving only seven sites nationwide. For the New York study, 1,000 adults ages 18 and older and 300 children ages 4 to 17 from the Newburgh and Hoosick areas will be recruited. Both locations were seriously impacted by legacy industrial sources and firefighting foams used by the military and others. The U.S. EPA, meanwhile, announced the state's Center for Environmental Health and Wadsworth Center Laboratories will receive approximately $900,000 over a three-year period to develop an extensive database of PFAS found near landfills throughout New York. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com.
New York State Thruway Authority announced earlier this week they are moving to a complete cashless toll system at the end of 2020. So construction on gantries, bridge-like overhead structures that will replace toll booths, will be happening for the next 2 years. The authority has a map of the construction up on a website, and work has just started at Exit 21B in Coxsackie and at Exit 22 near Selkirk and should be complete in January. Construction at Exit 21 in Catskill will take place next summer, May through August. Exit 20 in Saugerties will start in October and be complete in March, if the construction schedule holds. The New York State Bridge Authority is expected to implement a toll hike on all Hudson River crossings next year, but the amount of the increase is still unknown. Read more about this at the New York State Thruway Authority website.
Ayla Harris is reporting for the Times Union. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo, September 26, signed legislation extending New York's deadline for voters to change their party registration ahead of the 2020 primary elections. The new law eliminates the previously scheduled October 11th deadline, giving voters until February 14th to change parties and still vote in the primary elections in April and June. The bill, passed by the state legislature in June, sat on Cuomo's desk unsigned for months, causing the campaign manager for Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders to urge the Democratic National Committee to demand Cuomo sign the bill into law. Progressives have rallied for years for New York to change its strict deadline. Party leaders previously defended the state's very early registration deadlines as a defense against the practice of party raiding, in which members of a rival party change their affiliation to undercut the opposing party's candidate selection. Read the full story in the Times Union.
New York State's foliage report has some higher elevations in the Catskills nearing peak this weekend. Quote, look for 70% color change in gold, green, and red leaves. The mountains of Greene County will see up to 50% color transition this weekend, with midpoint to near peak foliage in elevations above 2,000 feet. Look for bright touches of red, yellow, orange, and green. Observers reporting from the town of Catskill expect foliage will be 35% changed by the weekend, with vibrant colors of red, orange, and yellow with a hint of purple. At Bel Air Mountain in the Ulster County community of Highmount, foliage will be nearing midpoint of change by the weekend, with 30% color transition and average to bright yellow and orange leaves coming on strong. Observers reporting from Kingston project 10 to 15% color change with yellow, orange, and red leaves.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the weekend. Saturday brings a slight chance of showers, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with a high near 80 degrees. Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before midnight. It will be mostly cloudy with a low of around 58. And on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 80 degrees. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low of around 46. So there you have your weather update. Brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Listen out for these live broadcasts and extra web streams on the WGXC program schedule during the coming week. On Friday, September 27th, WGXC Live will broadcast the live web stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, where the band Ace of Wands and Carolyn Morosi will perform. The show will air on 90.7 FM from 9 to 10 p.m., then continue online at WGXC.org. Click on Listen Now at the top of the page and scroll down to find the web stream. Visit theavalonlounge.com for more information. On Saturday, September 28th, WGXC Live will broadcast the live web stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, where the band Camp St. Helene will perform. Wesley Harper opens the show and DJ Matt Wagner performs later. There should be a live web stream at WGXC.org around 9 p.m. Click on Listen Now at the top of the page and scroll down to find the web stream. The show will air on 90.7 FM until 10 p.m., then continue online until 2 a.m. at WGXC.org. Visit theavalonlounge.com for more information. Be sure to check our program schedule for new listings of public events, community meetings, and other dedicated web streams, which may not have been posted at the time this announcement was recorded. You can also download the free Wave Farm app to listen on your phone or iDevice, or use it to become a broadcast partner with WGXC.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
On Friday, September 27th, the First Reformed Church of Catskill on Main Street will be holding their Fall Rummage Sale on Friday, September 27th from 9 to 5 and Saturday, September 28th from 9 to 1. The Catskill Farmers Market runs from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Catskill Community Center on Main Street. Learn to safely pickle and keep food fresh up to 18 months using a boil water canner. This is a hands-on class where participants will end up preparing a pickled product to take home. The course will be held at the Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties Extension Education Center on Route 66 in Hudson from 6 to 8 p.m. Register at ccecolumbiagreen.org or call 518-622-9820, extension 100. Spirit Family Reunion and Joanna Sternberg perform at BSP Kingston starting at 8 p.m. Independent artist and musician of guitar and percussion Lee performs at the Hudson Underground on Warren Street at 8 p.m. NRBQ performs at the Falcon on Route 9W in Marlborough starting at 8 p.m. Ace of Wands and Carolyn Morosi perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill beginning at 9 p.m. with live web stream on WGXC.org. The Half Moon on South Front Street in Hudson hosts Your Vote, Your Voice with voter registration on the spot and ice cream party with mostly girls DJ sets. All proceeds go towards the Kamal Johnson campaign for mayor starting at 9 p.m. On Saturday, September 28th, the 2019 Columbia Green Walk to End Alzheimer's starts with registration at 10 a.m., followed by the ceremony at 11 and the walk beginning at 11:15 a.m. from Dutchman's Landing. Registration is necessary. More information at alz.org/walk. Visit and browse the extensive collection of city directories, yearbooks, and local history books, and research items in the archival collection at the Hudson Area Library's History Room open hours. The public can also request information on local history that volunteers will research from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Drag Queen Storytime is a family-friendly and inclusive event co-presented with Out Hudson. Infants to 7-year-olds are invited to this session featuring local resident and multi-talented performer Ella Gent. Cookies by Trixie's Oven at the Hudson Area Library from 11 to 12 noon. The Caro Development Foundation's Caro Bears Community Art Project Auction with 49 Bears on the Block will be held at the Crystal Brook Mountain Brew House in Winter Clove Road in Round Top starting at 2 p.m. Louis Macia and the Coosacchee Athens Teachers Association present The Work Project, portraits of working class people accompanied by readings of their oral histories. Reception, art exhibition, and performance at 6:30 p.m. at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. Gong Brattleboro is a small festival of music showcasing new, experimental works in a genre of Indonesian traditional music called gamelan. These new works make special usage of electronics to connect this traditional music to the contemporary movement of noise, also currently very prevalent in Indonesia. Held at Epsilon Spires on Main Street in Brattleboro, Vermont, from 7 to 10 p.m. Diane Cluck and Hudson's Emily Ritz perform at BSP Kingston starting at 8 p.m. Camp St. Helene, Wesley Harper, and DJ Matt Wagner perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with live web stream on WGXC.org. On Sunday, September 29th, the Hudson Area Library continues its fall 2019 lineup of Music in the Stacks, a series of free Sunday afternoon concerts featuring local and international artists and hosted by Hudson Area Youth Organizations with a concert by Miho Hattori from 4 to 5:30 p.m. Music blog Raven Sings the Blues invites L.A. psych rock band Olden Yoke to play with an opening set by Philly psych pop band Honey Radar and Mosses at the Half Moon in Hudson at 7:30. The musician, actor, playwright, and author Storm Large will perform at Club Helsinki Hudson on Columbia Street at 8 p.m. That's it for this week's WGXC Community Calendar. You can add your own event and hear it right here on the radio by visiting WGXC.org/calendar. WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Wendy Schmaltz of Claverick, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process from the studios of KHOI in the heart of Iowa.
The productivity of our farms are amazing, and we've helped keep the markets alive through exports. You know, that's something that we've come to depend upon.
That was Seth Watkins, owner of Pinhook Farms in southwest Iowa. Farmers have been hit hard recently by President Donald Trump's trade war with China. This week, though, an interim trade deal with Japan to lower tariffs on beef and pork might give relief to some farmers and ranchers. This deal is a significant step, according to the nonprofit Farmers for Free Trade, who called for more, quote, trade wins, not trade wars, unquote. Clearly, the president's trade policy is key to the Hawkeye State agricultural voters. Here's Story County Republican Party Chair Brett Barker.
Japan's a really important trading partner for the state of Iowa.
But China is still an important trade partner, too. Barker said that despite difficulties in exporting right now,
folks are willing to give some time to hold China accountable because in the long run, they know it's important. But obviously, they're an important trading partner, too. So hopefully there will be some resolution to that. But there have been a lot of positive moves in trade, especially with Canada and with Mexico and with Japan.
Iowa Farmers Union President Aaron Lehman said there needs to be a better approach than back-and-forth tariffs to holding China accountable for its trade violations, one that involves worldwide trading partners making reasonable demands.
That way we won't be putting farmers as the most vulnerable people when the trade negotiations get tough.
Meanwhile, the Iowa Democratic Party is still working on a plan to make the Iowa caucuses more accessible to people who couldn't previously participate, like shift workers, people with disabilities, people serving overseas, and students. This happened after the DNC rejected their caucus-by-phone proposal, saying it wouldn't be secure enough. They now propose adding what they call satellite caucuses, in addition to precinct gatherings, at places like factories, group homes, or out-of-state locations for people who would normally vote absentee in a general election. Contrary to the normal next step, where each of Iowa's 99 counties has its own convention, from which delegates then go to the state convention and then the national, the satellite caucuses would feed into just four so-called county conventions, and they could be far from people's homes. University of Iowa professor Douglas Jones, an expert in voting technology, isn't convinced the new plan fosters real participation.
They get their totals reported in the statewide delegate counts, but then how many people from the satellite caucus who are elected as delegates actually go to that fictional county convention and engage in any politics?
From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks for listening at PacificaNetwork.org and PublicNewsService.org.
Não faço cara nem pose, caminho na contramão. E quanto mais eu me envolvo, mais namora a solidão. Ainda hoje lembrei das tuas risadas sem fim. E eu me questionei, rirão de mim ou pra mim. Se lambuzaram no doce, levaram o melhor que eu tinha. Enquanto a boca amarga, meu coração desalinha. Vocês me devem cada lágrima, cada desserviço. Devem meu suor, me devem cada gemido. Me devem cada lágrima, cada desserviço. Devem meu suor, me devem cada gemido. Mas a tristeza é tocar o chão, vou levar todos pra paz. E quando eu tocar o chão, eu vou te levar pra paz. Flutuo nesse vazio, mas a tristeza é oceano raso. E quando eu tocar o chão, vou levar todos pra paz. E quando eu tocar o chão, eu vou te levar pra paz.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookish things.
All that good stuff.
And that's what we're going to do today. Mm-hmm. So what have you been reading lately, Amelia?
I finished Fahrenheit 451 today.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't like how it ended.
Oh, I don't remember how it ended.
It felt very rushed.
So it was less about how it came to a conclusion, but how quickly it did?
Yeah, there was like, it seemed like there was a ton of other stuff they could have done with the character and the characters and the whole plot, and then it just ended, and it ended very abruptly in a way, like so abruptly that I almost thought like what they were saying was happening was a metaphor and it wasn't actually happening, but it was, and I was disappointed.
Aw, I've had that happen with books before where I'm either reading or listening, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait, did that just happen? And then I go back and I'm like, oh yeah, that just happened. Did not make it up, but otherwise you enjoyed the book.
Yeah.
So that's Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451. And interesting that you read that book recently, because this week is Banned Books Week.
Ooh.
And the American Library Association, their Office for Intellectual Freedom, compiles a list of the top 10 most challenged books each year in order to inform the public about censorship in libraries and schools. So they make this list of top 10 most challenged books, which is really just a snapshot of book challenges, because the surveys indicate that the majority of book challenges remain unreported and receive no media attention.
Huh.
So this is just a little snapshot of what was challenged in the past year. And just because it makes the banned books list does not mean it was actually banned. It means that there was an attempt at banning. So in some cases, the book maybe was removed from the shelves or from curriculum. In some cases, it was just challenged and remained in the curriculum. Sometimes libraries shift where they put a book in the library due to a banning or a challenge. But their top 10 this year, or actually it's a top 11. They went one more this year for some reason. But the top 11 most challenged books this year were George by Alex Gino. And the reasons given for challenging the book, it says, banned, challenged, and relocated because it was believed to encourage children to clear browser history and change their bodies using hormones, and for mentioning dirty magazines, describing male anatomy, creating confusion, and including a transgender character.
Huh.
The second book was A Day in the Life of Marlon Bundo by Jill Twiss, illustrated by E.G. Keller. The reasons, banned and challenged for including LGBTQIA plus content and for political and religious viewpoints. I think that was kind of the point of the book.
yeah, I think so.
The third was the Captain Underpants series, written and illustrated by Dave Pilkey. The reasons, series was challenged because it was perceived as encouraging disruptive behavior, while Captain Underpants and the sensational saga of Sir Stinks-a-Lot was challenged for including a same-sex couple. That Captain Underpants makes the list a lot.
It does, and I never understand why. Probably because I never read the books. I thought they were kind of dumb. But I love
their titles, though.
Yeah.
Captain Underpants and the Sensational Saga of Sir Stinks-a-Lot.
I mean, we love alliteration here.
Yeah. I think that's one of the shorter titles, too. Some of them are really long. Fun to say. Next up, number four, is one of our Battle of the Books books, The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas. The reasoning given was banned and challenged because it was deemed anti-cop and for profanity, drug use, and sexual references.
I never ended up reading that book, so I wouldn't know.
It's a very good book. Number five is Drama, written and illustrated by Raina Telgemeier. Reasons, banned and challenged for including LGBTQIA plus characters and themes.
I read that one. It was really good.
It's great.
I like it much better than Smile, which is another one of her books, but that might just because of my slight bias towards anything involving dentistry, because I'm very scared of going to, like, dentists.
Plus, they're different, because Smile is memoir, and Drama, while somewhat inspired by her childhood, is not about her life.
Oh.
So I feel like, you know, it gives her a little more
freedom to decide where the story goes.
Yeah.
But it was a great book. They're both great, except for if you are against anything to do with dentistry.
Dentistry freaks me out. It was a good story, but, like, just the whole thing was like, I don't like teeth. Yeah. I don't like to see teeth. It's scary to me.
I don't like to think about teeth being knocked out by face planting. Yeah.
Song that we love to sing. Every time we hear the music, and we're in this love together, we got the kind that lasts forever. We're in this love together, and like berries on the vine. It's sweeter all the time.
WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
If you can't make your local town meetings but want to attend, WGXC can help. Currently, local volunteers make recordings and live web streams of the Catskill Town Meetings, the Hudson Common Council Meetings, and the Columbia County Board of Supervisor Meetings. If you miss the live web streams, volunteers post recordings of these meetings as soon as possible at WGXC.org on the newsroom page and in the audio archives. If you're going to local meetings and you have a phone in your pocket, you can help too. Email info@WGXC.org and WGXC will help you share recordings of local meetings and events. You can also use the free WGXC app, available in the App Store, to do your own live webcast from local events. Contact info@WGXC.org for more information about how you can help share valuable local information about your community with your friends and neighbors. WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Wayfarm's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Wayfarm Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Galen Joseph Hunter of Acre, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, September 27th, 2019. I'm Mary Sherman. The latest on an impeachment inquiry and whistleblower accusations against President Trump, the EPA continues its push against California's record on pollution and the connection between poor water quality and low-income towns. As Democrats work towards an impeachment inquiry, top GOP leaders are pressing for the identity of White House officials who told a whistleblower of alleged misconduct by the Trump administration. A whistleblower complaint released early Thursday accuses President Donald Trump of abusing his official powers to solicit interference from Ukraine in the upcoming 2020 election. It also alleges the White House took steps to cover it up. At a private event on Thursday, the president expressed support for an investigation into uncovering the whistleblower's sources.
I want to know who's the person that gave the whistleblower, who's the person that gave the whistleblower the information? Because that's close to a spy.
Meanwhile, a new poll finds Americans are split on whether they approve of the Democrats' impeachment inquiry. However, the pollsters caution public opinion could change quickly
with 7 in 10 saying they are paying attention to what's happening in the news. When broken down by party affiliation, 88% of Democrats, 6% of Republicans, and 44% of independents said they are in favor of the inquiry. The Trump administration issued a warning Thursday to California leaders that the state is failing to meet its obligations on sewer and water pollution. A letter from EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler to California Governor Gavin Newsom outlines what the EPA calls significant public health concerns and deficiencies in the state's air and water quality. And it focuses specifically on the state's homelessness issues in Los Angeles and San Francisco, citing articles on human feces in streets and warning of potential water quality concerns. In reaction, a spokesman for Governor Newsom accused the president of weaponizing the government to attack his political opponents. On the topic of pollution, low-income communities of color like Flint, Michigan, or Newark, New Jersey, are much more likely than white, more affluent towns to suffer with polluted water for years, according to a new report.
The study, called Watered Down Justice, analyzed EPA data for 200,000 violations of the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act. Report co-author Christy Pullen-Fedinick of the Natural Resources Defense Council says states are neglecting black and brown communities.
You know, some of it is the voices being ignored. I think some of it is disinvestment in communities, infrastructure disinvestment. It could be industries and jobs leaving areas. There are a number of factors that are outside of this drinking water that have led to the crisis happening in Flint.
The study found that local authorities and state regulators are failing to address and report pollution violations, especially in crowded towns with many low-income people of color and non-native English speakers. I'm Suzanne Potter.
This is PNS. The number of refugees allowed into the United States each year could reach its lowest number since the resettlement program began in 1980. The Trump administration's recommending cutting the refugee number by more than a third after last year's record low of 30,000. The administration also proposed allocating numbers by groups of special humanitarian interest rather than region. Religious minorities would be prioritized with 5,000 spots. Iraqis who assisted the U.S. are allocated 4,000 spots, and 1,500 spots will be reserved for migrants from the Northern Triangle of Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Now to Wyoming, where lawmakers are considering a measure that would increase utility bills for individuals and businesses with solar panels who sometimes get power from the grid, mainly when the sun isn't shining. Eric Galatis has more.
Since solar users don't use as much energy as do other customers, proponents say they're not paying enough for grid maintenance. Scott Kane with the solar company Creative Energies points out that people and businesses who conserve energy or increase efficiencies are also low energy users.
All of those people might somehow be cost shifting. In the argument being made, however, it's only the solar that's being singled out as unfairly shifting costs away from itself.
Because a portion of a utility's cost for infrastructure and maintenance is tacked onto the cost of kilowatt-hour usage, lawmakers claim changing the state's net metering laws would give relief to customers who don't have solar. Kane points to data showing that individual solar can continue to grow in Wyoming under existing laws at the same rate for the next decade before contributing to any meaningful cost shifts.
New Census Bureau data shows that despite the median U.S. income reaching a new high in 2018, the gap between the rich and the poor is the widest in five decades. U.S. median household income was nearly $62,000 for 2018, but in more than half of states, the median household income was lower than the national level. Economists cite a variety of factors for the gap, including a slowdown in agricultural trade and manufacturing, and wages that haven't caught up with other forms of income. Fisheries of the deep will now have a better chance of surviving the hooks of fishermen, thanks to a new rule requiring descending devices on boats.
The South Atlantic Fisheries Management Council approved a new rule requiring fishermen to have ready-to-use weighted tools to keep deep-water fish from dying of the bends during catch and release. Jessica McCauley is with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
This is for snapper grouper species in order to reverse the effects of barotrauma, which is what happens when you bring a fish up from depth and their internal organs are distended.
A recent South Atlantic stock assessment found 28.5% or 460,000 red snapper died after catch and release. I'm Tramell Gomes.
I'm Mary Sherman for Public News Service. Member and listener supported. And online at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to wavefarm.org and click on the WGXC Newsroom for more information about anything you hear here. Kayla Harris reports in the Albany Times-Union that Governor Andrew Cuomo plans to release a proposal to legalize the recreational use of marijuana in January inside next year's state budget. Cuomo plans to meet with leaders from nearby states to devise a, quote, common framework, unquote, for marijuana laws, including minimum ages or permitted THC content. Quote, the best way to get things done, I think we can all agree, is in the state budget, unquote, Cuomo said. Quote, when it's not in the state budget, that's when things get problematic, unquote. Individual lawmakers get less sway over legislation included in the budget, and Democrats have little choice but to vote for the overall spending bill. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union. Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that Village President Vincent Seeley says that the Catskill Village Board of Trustees voted to sell a portion of Elliott Street. There is not supposed to be driving on this road, which is more like a bit of land between Box Drop, Maastricht, and Dunkin' Donuts at the intersection of Route 385 and Route 9W. Seeley says the village has been allowing people to drive there, though not legally. Quote, technically, people can't drive around Dropbox Mattress, but we let them, unquote, Seeley said. The property is appraised at $18,000. The owner of the Dunkin' Donuts Plaza has told the town that they would like to add a drive-through, Seeley said. The story does not mention when the property might be sold. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Amelia Teasdale reports in the Columbia paper that a proposed law banning sidewalk bike riding on Main Street in Valencia has been tabled by the village board. The August Village Board meeting, there was discussion of complaints about bike riders. But a month later, Mayor Diane Argyle said that there has been, quote, no other comment from anyone else in the village about the bike law, unquote. Argyle asked the board to table a public hearing on the proposed law, but it may return. Randall Schmidt, president of the Valencia Economic Redevelopment Association, said that the bike issue has, quote, gotten a lot better, unquote. But he was planning to speak with local business owners to find more issues with bike riders in Valencia. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. October 11th is the deadline to register in the November 5th town and county elections. This year, though, voting begins October 26th at a limited number of locations. Locally, Greene County has one location in Catskill, while voters registered in Columbia County have three locations to vote ahead of November 5th. The county office building in Hudson, the Martin H. Glynn Municipal Building in Valencia, and Copake Town Hall in Copake. In southern Albany County, the Helderberg Ambulance Site at 978 Cole Road in East Bern will be set up for all registered voters in election districts in Bern, Knox, Rensselaerville, and Westerloo. The Bethlehem Lutheran Church at 85 Elm Avenue in Delmar will be for voters registered in Bethlehem, Coymans, and New Scotland. In southern Rensselaer County, the Skodak Town Hall at 265 Schumann Road in Castleton-on-Hudson will be set up for early voting. To gain political advantage, Republicans in the majority in Rensselaer County did not set up an early voting site in Troy, the county's largest city and home to more Democrats than GOP members. This has been the WGXC Local News. Go to the newsroom at wavefarm.org in the WGXC section for more information about these stories. And you can find recordings of local town meetings there and an exhaustive listing of local events at wavefarm.org.
And now here is your WGXC Hands-On Radio weather update. The National Weather Service in Albany is forecasting a sunny Friday afternoon with a temperature high near 71 degrees and a calm south wind at 5 to 7 miles an hour. Friday night will be mostly clear with a low of around 52 and a south wind at 5 to 8 miles an hour. Your forecast for the weekend. Saturday brings a slight chance of showers, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with a high near 80 degrees. Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before midnight. It will be mostly cloudy with a low of around 58. And on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 80 degrees. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low of around 46. So there you have your weather update. Brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Hi, this is Linda Tripp, 4-H educator for Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties. Visit the Catterskill Gallery at Columbia Greene Community College in October to view the 4-H art exhibit showcasing block prints from over 75 4-H club members. Join us for the opening reception on Thursday, October 10th from 5 to 7 p.m. Cornell Cooperative Extension provides equal program and employment opportunities.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tom Daggett of Denver, Colorado. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
On the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Now we have on the phone Alan Kuhn from the Spotty Dog Books and Ale in Hudson to tell us all about the... how many film festivals have you had now?
About six or eight. It's occasional, so we lost count.
Ah, so it doesn't have an official number.
Right. I think about eight of them we've had.
And when is this year's event?
This year's event is October 6th, which is a Sunday night, which is when we usually do it.
And is there anything different about this year? If to give everybody, if people aren't familiar with the event.
Absolutely, thanks. About 12 years ago, Spotty Dog has been open for 15 years. We wanted to have a mini film festival. It's something we did in college with a group of designers and filmmakers. We all went to art school. And we figured out it was pretty easy to throw together an event. And so we decided to do a one-night-only short film festival where entries, it used to be 10 minutes in length, now it's 8 minutes in length maximum. People can submit video, collage, film, whatever short movies they want. We've had many videos that are stop motion animation done on iPhones or iPads or professional quality done on iPhones or anything from pretty much film. Abstract, a lot of people who whose names float around GXC or the area, WGXC or the area, have been in past film festivals, so we usually contact people because they're always creating new things. And we take submissions. So we've had an open call for the past month or so. We've extended it to Monday, September 30th, which is this coming Monday. So if anyone has anything, they should submit it. I can give you the email and information when you're ready. But the... So we chose, it used to be in conjunction with Arts Walk in Hudson, which is no longer. And so to not compete with any of the events, we put it on Sunday night. And so, like I said, it's one night only. So we usually have a program of two blocks of films with an intermission. We project it in the store. We move all the bookshelves. So it's like one of our shows where you have all the seating. And it's just a celebration of local, national, and international short films. And we get a diversity of submissions from kids all the way to professionals who are either instructors or work in the field professionally. And it's usually pretty fantastic. We've had a lot of submissions already. We always like to fill it out to get the strongest work we possibly can.
And do you get just people around here making their own movies, or do you get like professionals that are on the circuit?
We get both. No one that's household names, but people get wind of it, and we have a college instructor in New Mexico who sends these amazing animations, and you know, word gets around. And so we also call out to friends at Bard and other colleges to open up to students and other filmmakers. And we also get a lot of local characters or people who are just local creatives who make films and submit them as well. So it's a good mix.
And do local people sometimes? Do so well, feel like they did so well that then they enter their film into other contests or showings?
I do believe that happens, yeah. I can't tell you exactly who, but people have made stuff. A lot of times people just need a deadline to create something.
Yes.
And then when they realize they did it, it's like, oh, I might actually submit this elsewhere, so it'll go to Woodstock or other places.
And I guess you probably see, like, maybe not film trends, but you see how the technology evolves probably watching the festival over the years.
Oh, absolutely. 12 years sounds, feels like it wasn't that long, but people would submit stuff done on in video cameras, translated from VHS to DVD, or they would give us DVDs. Now everything is streaming, and they'll send us the link. And handheld devices are what's really exploded and putting really amazing technology that was only available to professionals and film students into the hands of kids. So we've had Lego stop motion, where you have Lego blood flying out of stormtroopers, and it's just it's amazing what people can do when you have some time and creativity and the technology, which most people hold in their hands, that technology to make a short film.
Do you get more animation because people like to play with that, or more regular shooting?
We get some narrative, which, where there's a story, some animation. We also get some people make music videos, which usually fall within the time length, and so they submit those as well. So it varies. Sometimes it's completely abstract. Sometimes people just set up a camera in the chicken coop, and things happen. It's great.
So you don't have any limits about no documentaries or no tales told backwards or anything like that. It's just the only limit is the time limit.
It's completely wide open. If there's adult content, we usually put that in the second half, and any family-friendly content we put in the first half and just warn everybody in case there's some nudity or profanity or things like that.
So even those things are allowed?
Yes. Allowed and encouraged, whatever people want to create.
And do you have a favorite over the years?
Yeah. Chris Perry usually makes, he's made a few Stetson films with, I think John Rosenthal plays Stetson, and it's usually a narrative film based on an investigator, and we never know to the last minute if it's coming in or not. We've heard there's one coming in this year, and we're really excited because it's usually a highlight because they go all out, and there's a lot of local actors and people who you'd recognize, and they're really well done.
And it's like a serial? It has
pretty
the same
much a serial, yeah. There were three parts, and they usually pick up from the last part. So they started putting in visual cues near the end of the film so they can pick up the narrative.
And Chris Perry's known for his kind of rather large sculptures, often near basilica or something. So this is a step out of his normal work?
Yeah, but when you compare the language of film and sculpture and design, you still have the same descriptors. You have pace, composition, collage. A lot of the visual descriptors can travel from sculpture to film to graphic design to painting. And so you'll find that a lot of artists find it very easily to pick up film equipment and get in the editing room and make pretty great things happen without too much of a learning curve.
Yeah, does his film work remind you of his sculpture somehow?
I would say in the it's airy and gritty. And have some rough surfaces. I would throw those off the top of my head. Yeah.
All right,
it's real life.
We're speaking with Alan Kuhn from the Spidey Dog Books and Ale in Hudson. Can you give us all the details? Where do people go if they want to submit a film or find out the information about all this?
Yeah, you can drop off. Mostly, we would take links. It's spottydogfilmfestival@gmail.com. That's the submission email, and you can send a link. If you don't have time to get a link together before the deadline, that's okay. Just you can drop off a DVD or a flash drive at the store. Just put a big indicator that it's for Alan or Noah just make sure it says for the film festival. And we essentially screen it, and we let everyone know after the submission deadline pretty quickly whether it's in or not. I want to give a shout out to Noah Reibel, who is also has been involved with GXC a lot in the past, and he co-runs the festival with me, so he couldn't be here today, but we screened them together, and he and I just kind of split duties so we can make it happen. It's a lot of small tasking to make it happen, but it's kind of a labor of love.
All right, while we've got you on the phone, is there anything else new at the Spotty Dog Books and Ale you want to tell us about?
Well, I had to take the phone away from the front windows because we're renovating the entire facade and putting new brickwork in. It was getting kind of dangerously precarious because of ice damage over the years. And so you see this black shroud across the facade. And so that's going to be up for the next 10 weeks. I kind of like it. It looks like a Christo sculpture. And then the first night we had the scaffolding up, it was tagged by graffiti artists, so it's it kind of already has a local signature. Anyway, that's a current event for the building. For the for events, we have Steely Din coming up on tomorrow night, Thursday the 26th.
And that's Slink Moss and PG6 on the steel drum?
Correct, yeah.
Slink is on the steel drum, actually. PG6 is on the harp, I think, maybe, is that?
We have Kelton Park steel drum, flutes, and synthesizers, right? And Sean Allison's involved as well. I believe it's his thing, and he helps organize it. On Thursday, October 3rd at 7 p.m., we have Caitlin Muscatello, author of C. Jane Wynn, the inspiring story of women changing American politics. It's a conversation moderated by Hallie Goodman. And I always say that books make great gifts, signed books, whether it's a birthday or the holidays. So it's always great to come in and meet the author and catch the reading and then get some signed books. We have our trivia night on Tuesday, October 8th, which has been biweekly for about 13 years. We just had it last night. Coming up on Saturday, October 12th at 7 p.m. is Volume. That's speaking of Hallie Goodman. That's her and Danny French and a cast of others who were lucky enough to have them bring their monthly reading and music series to us. And so it's a reading from three authors and a DJ afterwards. Hallie and Danny call it nerd mingling, where the writers are so shy that it's kind of better to get some drinks in them and have a DJ where to facilitate talking and networking afterwards. Saturday, October 19th at 7 p.m. is the Writer's Studio, the Hudson Valley version. So they have a quarterly reading with several different authors, both students and instructors. There's a book release party on Wednesday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. with Geneva Zane, who also works with Volume. Her new novella is String Bean and the Grace of Dog. She'll be reading and signing books. And also we're very excited for to have Amy Rigby on Friday, October 11th at 8:30 p.m. She'll be Amy works at the Spotty Dog. She's a critically acclaimed world-renowned musician in our midst, and she just wrote a new memoir called Girl to City, which pretty much is her childhood in Pittsburgh and her time in New York. I just read it. It's one of the most honest memoirs I've ever read. I recommend everyone to pick it up and read it. And
if you've ever read her blog, you have an idea, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And it's pretty much how New York affects her, but it's also how she's a part of New York, how she affects New York, and it's a terrific look into New York in the 80s and 90s. If anyone had been there or lived there at that time, a lot of the stuff will be familiar, and if you haven't been there, you'll get a terrific idea of what it was actually like and the characters who were around at the time. Amy doesn't drop names, and you realize that I'm reading the book, and she was at the show where the Clash were at the Bottom Line, and she met this person and that person. You realize she's this thread through all of this music history in New York at the time, and she pretty much doesn't speak up and tell you all about it. And you read in her book, and you're like, oh, my God, I have to ask her about this. I have to ask her about that, because she's not forthcoming about it.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.